From Delmonico Farm in New York, here's Max Tucci. Welcome to his table.
Welcome, 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 welcome to my table, to our table. I'm glad to have you back here on Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. How have you been? So, you know, we've done some amazing shows. You've seen them, the videos over the last couple of weeks. But today I'm recording voice only. And the reason is because my guest who's coming up tonight, Jennifer English, you know, we decided that it was the right thing to do. And if Jennifer wants to share more, she will. But so tonight we're going to really just stay focused on what it means to be a host and what it means to welcome all to the table, as Oscar Tucci, my grandfather, was very famous for saying. I've got to thank you all. You know, it's the first time that I can actually talk about this because all the other shows were recorded. So there's something fun about a quasi-live show. And in that quasi-live showness, what I love is that I get to share with you. And thank you for supporting me on QVC. So we have the Max Tucci Luxury Chocolates 100th Anniversary of Hospitality Collection available on QVC.com. You can go on there and you can click on Max Tucci and you can buy the chocolate. And thank you to Alberti and, of course, to Sandra Bennett. We had such a fun time on QVC that I'm like so looking forward to going back. So I want you to DM me on Instagram at Max Tucci, because what I would love to know is what would you like to see in the Max Tucci luxury collection? Now I know Jennifer's going to want to talk about that tonight too. So we've got a lot to talk about, but thank you so much for tuning in and for following us on Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. Thank you to my guests, from Chef Gabe to, of course, my girl Melba and Chef Aisha. And you all have been a part of it. So, you know, I misspoken on the show that I did with Suzanne Bass and said that I was here for 17 years. It's in fact 18 years, and we're moving into 19 years on LA Talk Radio. So, you know, time is an illusion to me. So, of course, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how it just flew by. But what I love about being on LA Talk Radio and what I love about doing with podcasting is hosting. And I love to be really the host of the most. And, you know, it's interesting because it's been so easy for me on air to be the host. And so naturally, when I'm in the restaurants, it's incredible to host you, to welcome you to the table, and for you to celebrate me as much as I celebrate you. And it was interesting because Jennifer and I had a conversation about what does it mean to be a host. And Jennifer, as always, mentors me to step up my game and host really with the utmost care, conviviality, and the knowledge of what my grandfather Oscar and my father Mario Tucci knew in hosting. And so today we're going to talk about hosting. We're going to talk about the Max Tucci Luxury Collection. And we're going to talk about just life in general. So welcome to my table, Jennifer English.
Well, Max, congratulations. I'm going to say that congratulations, congratulations, because multiple congratulations are in order. But what an honor and what a joy it is to be welcomed to your table.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, you've been a part of the table, and we used to do Sunday suppers on Max and Friends. So yep. For us, you know, it just feels good. You know, there's those moments that feel good, and Welcome to My Table is, one, for me, one of those moments that feels really good. So I'm honored to have you back on.
Well, let's just start by saying it's so wonderful to watch you blooming into this new role on this new show, integrating everything that is your legacy as the third generation partner at Delmonico's, as the next generation of Tucci's welcoming guests, seeing to their joy, their welcoming, and to honoring them with the respect of saying, I see you, I hear you, you matter. But more than that, in this moment in time, in this modern time, you are the very embodiment of what it means to be a host. We talk about, you and I, offline, online, wherever you and I get a minute together, we talk about this. Because you have really integrated this sense of what the old world hosts knew, what we've lost in this transition from fine dining to next dining experience. And you have this really unique opportunity to to not lose the most important thing that food does for us, not uniting us, reminding us and validating our humanity. That's the most important thing food does for us when we share it together.
Absolutely. And you know what's really great is that the other day I was out at an event and someone said, you know, oh, we've been, you know, hearing about you and following you. And they said, you remind us so much of Ciro Maccioni, you know, in his attire and the way that he operated at the restaurant. And I thought for a minute, like, hold on, there was Mario and Oscar. But then the reality is that Mario and Oscar really never had their life documented like Ciro did. You know, it just wasn't the era nor the time. Oscar, though, you know, and we're going to put it into a documentary for the Tucci 100 years of anniversary, our anniversary. Oscar had a crew used to follow him around, but it was never like, you know, they didn't have a show on HBO like Ciro did with Le Cirque. And so to be able to have someone recognize that, you know, I reminded them of Ciro Maccioni just really meant that I reminded them of Oscar and Mario Tucci, because that's right. Really where Ciro learned it.
Right.
So it was really like one of those moments of, okay, as much as I want to, you know, my motto is I hear you, I see you, you matter. People are now hearing and seeing me. And it's quite an honor. It's quite an honor. But you know, what does it mean?
Well, yeah. No, I want to say, because it's so funny, we're not doing the visuals tonight, because I think you're going to get a lot of response from people saying, Max, I love seeing you. And I love watching you and seeing you too, because that's really the first part. If you break down that legacy that I see you, I hear you, part of what's going to happen as we enter this era of AI and as restaurants change and morph into what's going to be, you know, this great unknown future that we're going to share with more of us getting food delivered to our homes. And you know all the ways that it's changing. We can talk about that. But it doesn't change the fact that you're hosting someone's experience.
Yeah.
And when you do that as a human. And I think one of the most important things that's going to happen, and again, I'm a host. I host the Food and Wine Radio Network conversations. I host in many different aspects of my life, because I feel that's how I can be in service to my industry, to my community, to the culinary culture that I was fortunate to be working in the last three decades. And in my service to my community, I've come to recognize that what I can do is what all good hosts do. And I love that in the Delmonico Way, you really highlighted, without calling it, how to be the greatest host ever. I mean, that could be the subtitle of the book. But isn't it interesting that all the friends you have that are in the entertainment world, that are in the restaurant world, that are in the hospitality world, there's a common thread. It's like you are a platoon of great hosts, reminding everybody that wherever we go next, A, we're going to go there together, and B, we're going to do all the things we need to do as the hosts to honor you as the human being that you are. We'll use the tools and technology to do it, but more than anything else, you are going to feel how a great host makes you feel.
Yeah. You know, let's pick up on that, because I recently flew on an airline, and, you know, not to disparage them, I'm not going to say their name, but, you know, we flew from California to Colorado. And we flew, I guess, I don't know if it's business or first class, but their business first class check-in, Jennifer, was all automated. There was nobody there. And that disconnect of that interaction with someone saying, welcome to this airline and thank you for flying with us and all of that, that, you know, I feel is expected, especially when you're flying in first and business class. But to have not, you know, to have them humans replaced with the check-in machines and you have to kind of do your own luggage tag situation. I remember back when I used to fly TWA with my father, Mario, to Rome. We would go JFK to Rome. And the way that they were hosting you from the moment you arrived, you know, there was a sky captain and they would take your luggage and you would go and you would check in. And then there was the Emerald Club and you would sit upstairs you know, and there was, it was just such, I mean, the bar, I remember it was all mid-century, you know, and it was, then it was probably not even mid-century, it was century appropriate. But, you know, we would sit there and have cocktails and the bar was so chic and everything was just such an experience in flying. Right. And now it's like check-in is just so, you know, there's a lot. I mean, I'm lost for words. It's so lame.
I'm going to tell you what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
You're describing a disconnection between expectations and service.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this as gently as I can.
Yeah.
In fact, what we expect our hosts in different areas of our life to do and be is become very different. Mm-hmm. We use the word host in the realm of technology because there's an entire ocean of technological activities that take place with hosts and hosting services. It is a word that means something different. Mm-hmm. And it means something different in a time that's different, and the expectations become different. Mm-hmm. And so even in the time of AI, we're going to be redefining what the word host means. And isn't it interesting that in a place where you would have had the expectation that they would have interacted with you in a more warm way, in fact, for many people, the redefinition of luxury is privacy, self-direction, self-control. I get to control when I check in. So there are people of a generation who will say, I would rather have a kiosk experience. I'd rather have it be clean and unfettered. I really want it to be as swift and timeless as possible. I want to get in my seat. I want to get up to the lounge. I want to get back. I want to plug in. I want to get my email. Expectations and requirements are different today. Yeah. And for many people, we're in that period of recalibrating our expectations to what the demand of the marketplace is in the redefinition of the hosting. So isn't this interesting that you're bringing this up?
Yeah, well, you know, there's that. What my grandmother used to say is, you know, expectations lead to limitations, right?
Right, right.
And so today, the word host, as you just said, you know, there's so many variations, so many definitions of host. But in the hospitality industry, let's just stick with that because, you know, to get out of that, there's so many sectors we can go into. But as far as the word host goes in hospitality and being in the restaurant industry, what for you, Jennifer, is the definition of a host?
I love that you're asking this question because I want every single person who's listening to think about this and how they would answer this and how in their own historical and legacy life experience, they've learned what this means based on how it's been demonstrated to them. If you're lucky enough to work in the industry, you were trained by somebody who was trained by Mario, who was trained by Sirio, who was trained by Max, who is now here telling you what they expect. When you're thinking about, especially in hospitality at this moment, I don't know that we've had a very good example and experience for the young people of this moment becoming the next generation of patrons and guests, what to expect from a great host. Because there was a time when there would have been write-ups in local newspapers. Do you remember newspapers, don't you?
Of course. Right?
Okay, right? The social media of the day, right? And you would have read about the great hosts of the day, of the Sirio Maccionis of the world, the Max Tuccis of the world. Thank God we have social media. And in New York, you have great newspapers.
Nelly at the Polo Bar.
And Page Six and Nelly at the Polo Bar. And again, we can name, but if you go back, Mike Romanoff out at Romanoff's.
Right.
They would write about Humphrey Bogart going to Romanoff's as much as Mike Romanoff himself. And yeah. And the hosts at the door. I think one of the last great hosts we have was at the Diaghilev restaurant at the Bellage Hotel in California. Dmitry Dimitrov was one of the last great public hosts, right? You know. But there's this, and again, I'm going to say that Patrick O'Connell and his partner have always been great hosts at the Inn at Little Washington. There were places where you were welcomed, but you didn't have someone at the door who was as famous as the name on the door. Mm-hmm, I think I'm going to put it out there. I don't know that, and I'll use the James Beard Awards as an example of this. I don't think the James Beard Awards has had an award. They've had service, they've had restaurateur, they've had all kinds of things. They've never had a category for maitre d'hotel.
I'm thinking now, and I don't think I've ever noticed it.
Right. So where you go, I think our industry has fallen short of demonstrating what it means to be a great house, not to publicize the people. If you've been to a restaurant where they really made you feel welcome, and some places do this, they do it so seamlessly. When you go to any Michelin 3-star restaurant, when you go to Alinea, when you go to any of your favorite places, and best of all, if you went to a local place where you were a regular, I guarantee you could answer better what it is to be a great host than somebody who's never had the example of having it really brought to life for them.
So what does it mean to be a great host? Yeah. So what is, for those that are listening and, you know, either they own a restaurant or they're in the industry or they are a host or a hostess themselves or a maitre d', what, because you're such a mentor to me and, you know, I mean, consulting is such a beautiful gift that you have and know how to. And listen, for all those that are listening, you know, Jennifer, I'm going to hustle her right now. She's a great consultant. So if you ever need consulting in, you know, whatever industry you're in the hospitality industry, from food or beverage to restaurants, to books even, if you're writing a cookbook, reach out to Jennifer English. And
just,
you know,
say you're a friend of Max's.
Right. She gave the Max Tucci rate. But
it's not about the rate. I really try and help everybody that
you're
that
very
I can
sweet,
possibly
but it
help.
Is. Listen, but, this is when Max Tucci turns over from a host to a manager. Let me tell you something, Jennifer. too knowledgeable to give it away for free. So we're gonna come up with a rate card. But listen, let's get into hosting and the word and what does it mean to be a great host?
Well, you can tell if you've been listening to the last 5 minutes of our back and forth on this that I'm being a little bit Socratic with Max, because I know that he was born and raised in one of the last great bastion examples of what it meant to welcome your guests. Mm-hmm. For people who only go out on special occasions, there's a certain energy of special occasionness where you're brought in and they know you're coming. And when you think about the best experiences you've ever had at a private home, someone invited you to their home for a dinner, your Italian grandmother's on a Sunday afternoon, your Chinese grandparents hosting you on special occasions at their favorite restaurant, their banquet restaurant where you sit at banquet tables, giant tables of 10. I want you to think of whatever example comes to your mind. You walk into a bar like Cheers and they all call your name. What does it feel like to go somewhere and know that you're welcomed? To have a feeling of being welcomed. And even if you're there for the first time, being made to feel welcome isn't exclusively about familiarity, because I guarantee you that at the Polo Bar, first timers are often made to feel just as welcome as the regulars, because a great host will always make you know that this is the right place to be. When I was younger and just starting the Food and Wine Radio Network, you know who used to do this particularly well? The 21 Club, when Chef Eric Glauber, right? So we can give examples.
And Tony May and Marissa May.
And Marissa May.
At San Domenico.
Right. So we're talking about names and we're talking about places, but we're not talking about what it was they did that left this impression, that 20, 25, 30 years later, you're talking about what someone did for you that made you feel a certain way. And that is the first clue about what a great host is.
All right. I give you an example? Yep. So it was my 25th birthday and I decided to celebrate at San Domenico. And so I did it in the back room, in the private room. It was one of my favorite rooms there. And for those that don't know San Domenico, it's the new Marea now at 240 Central Park South in New York. And so I had my 25th birthday there. And Marissa, what she had done for me without me knowing, was created my birthday cake. And I love Milafole cake. It's my favorite. Mm-hmm. And so it's time for dessert. And out comes this enormous Milafole cake with these sugar clowns and sugar zoo. And it was just like, she got it. And it was in that moment that I really looked at her differently from, you know, not only my, you know, my quote unquote sister, my cousin, my friend, Tony May's daughter, but as Marissa May, who understood hospitality, who loved people more than the business or the industry, and wanted people to really feel that they've been seen, heard, and mattered and validated. And that it was all in that cake, Jennifer, that my whole vision of Marissa changed, where I was like, wow, she gets it. And I never, she always got it, but in that moment, and she got it for me.
So one of the things I wanted to get to is this. A great host is going to help you remember what it felt like to be welcomed by them at that place, at that time. And it's not about fancy. It's not about special occasions. It's about the authenticity of the hospitality and genuine, enthusiastic welcoming that they communicate to you, so that when you get there, you feel like, I'm absolutely in the right place and I'm really glad I'm here. Mm-hmm. And when you leave, you think, wow, that was really special. And you may not remember what you ate that night for dinner, but you will always remember how they made you feel. And when you go back because you want to feel that way again.
Yeah. I wrote about that all in the Demonica Way, Sublime Entertaining and Legendary Recipes from the Restaurant That Made New York. But I say that because, you know, there's been several books written after mine, where basically, I don't know, Jennifer, you might, without saying who it is, know what I'm talking about.
By the way, P.S., you and I've been trying to get you to write a book about hosting with me for now 5 years, because the future of hosting is going to be very different in so many ways. We're going to have more tools. We're going to have more challenges. We're going to have all kinds of things. But the key is going to be, how do we reach into our realm of experience, and with inspiration and intention and authenticity and passion, how do we make you feel really welcome wherever it is you are? And we anticipate, you know, Will Gadara did a really nice job on this, right? And you're trying to think of outrageous hospitality and some other things. And there's people who have really brought it to life at 11 Madison and all, you know, there are some places you go, the service is always flawless. And that may be true. People look at the bear and when they run out and they get you a hot beef, or they run out and they get you some pizza, or they do something that goes above and beyond. The above and beyond is nice. But to get to above and beyond, you first have to let your guard down and know you're in the right place. And that's what the real welcoming is. It's not any one moment. It's not any one flourish or parlor trick or splash. It's not just writing your name on an amenity when you check into a hotel. But when you check into a hotel and they send you an amenity, even if it's a note, a printed note from the manager, it's nice to know that someone knows you're there.
Well, you know, let's talk about technology and knowing that you're there. Because, you know, I rent the villa in Italy, in my home in Florence, Italy, with the Max Tucci Tuscan Experiences. And now what we're doing is we're, you know, like you say, taking it one step further, in the sense that there's a new system where, you know, I love to leave notes, but obviously I can't leave notes all the time because I'm not in Italy. So now it's, you know, it's like a little TV monitor. And you get to type in, like a hotel, welcome Jennifer English to Villa Tucci. We hope you enjoy your stay. Here are some of my favorite places to go to. Mention Max, you know, if you go to Ciro and Sons, or mention Max if you go to, you know, Zaza. And so I've
And here's where to go to get the shoes. And here's where you go to get the bargains on the leather. And here's where you go and go see.
And even if you want to have custom shirts made, you know, we can have the tailor come to the house. That little system that I've, you know, integrated into the villa rentals has changed my It's on Airbnb. So it's changed my Airbnb status. It's always been, you know, I've always been a super host. I love that Airbnb acknowledges a super host because, you know, you have to get 5-star ratings for the full time and, you know, everything has to be smooth. But what people are, how they're reacting to this, you know, little device when you walk in with their name on it in the middle of Italy, they're loving that they're getting to know firsthand what they can do, where they can feel like a local. And then because of that, you know, addition, you know, it's continued my 5-star status and that word super host. So what's the difference for you, Jennifer, between host and super host?
Well, you've just, you know, dropped, you've just dropped a giant Perugina Easter egg in my lap that I can't wait to crack and see what prize is inside, because I already know the prize inside. But I'm not going to let you get away that easy, because what you just described sounds not dissimilar to the kiosk at the airport. It's better.
Well,
than...
no, I do have someone. Okay, so I do have someone that welcomes you there. There is an in-person greeting.
Okay,
100%. Because I'm all about in-person greeting.
Right, and what I'm saying is, and maybe for the airline that is their step further, because that's what they can do now.
If but they don't have anyone there saying welcome.
I know. I know.
All right. United, you got to get it together.
and if you told me the name of the airline, I'm going to say, but you know what? I bet they've also done. I bet they've also stepped up their game in their lounges. And I bet there's got to be something.
No. United. I'm going to just call a thing a thing.
Okay. So it's not Delta. Because I know friends in the industry on the travel side.
I love Delta.
I know where they are. Ew, yeah, no, then it's icky. Sorry. Yeah.
So
no,
here's the icky thing. You know, just to talk about it for a moment. Do you remember back in the day when you used to buy a first class ticket, you had access to the lounge because it was part of the ticket price? Okay. United, now they don't have anyone there to host, you know, no host to greet you, none of that, you know, red carpet service that they used to have. And then to go to the lounge, a United lounge. And if you're not a United credit card holder and or a United, you know, frequent flyer member, you have to pay $59 per person, regardless if you have a first class ticket
or not.
Okay,
you know what that is? That's an example of not being a great host. Moving on. Let's go talk where they are a great host. Let's talk about places.
Well, no, because you know what? In order to understand a great host, we also
you
have
need to know what a terrible
understand.
Host is. Yeah.
Right. And there is that duality. And, you know, for me, I think I would love if we could take callers. What I mean, we have to go back to old school radio, because I would love to open up the lines and have people call in right now and give us experiences of great hosting and of inferior hosting. But fortunately, you have me,
and I'm going to give you a few.
Maya said, when you learn, teach, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we're in an environment now where we're not teaching and we're not learning because we're just observing.
Right.
And we're going on to all these platforms and, you know, there's all these AI fake things of what should be and what shouldn't be. But for those that are in this industry of hospitality and in the industry, and it's not a job, they don't look at being a maitre d' or a host as a job. They look at it as a career. And when you're in this industry and it is your career to be of service and your knowledge of understanding the customer, the owner of the establishment, the full team, the whole team, and how everything works.
Okay.
You know, one country in particular, Jennifer, that I love, love, love their knowledge of hospitality is the Philippines. And what I've never been, so I don't know what they're teaching in their schools there, but the hospitality industry in the Philippines is thriving. And to me, it's just, they understand really how to be a great host in so many ways. Would you agree?
I'm going to take it back because I want to stay focused on the questions you've already asked me that are swimming in my head that I want to answer. And we're going to park the Philippines for the moment because you're not wrong. But where this is really important for everybody, because this is our chance right now, you and I, to be of service at the beginning of a new year for our industry at a time when everything's changing. Let's talk about one of the things your grandfather said, I see you, I hear you, you matter, can easily be translated into that fourth expression inferred in that statement. And and I've got you. Whatever you need while you're here, I've got you. Whatever you think you might need, I've got you. Whatever you can't anticipate that you might need, I've got you. Mm-hmm. And by being a thoughtful, really meticulous, anticipate as much as you can, and then double up on everything you can imagine anybody needing. Being a good host means being ready. Mm-hmm. And there's something when you remember, we were spending a lot of time on social audio during COVID when restaurants were closed. I was doing Food and Beverage Magazine Live with Michael Politz for our industry. And we were talking to people and I kept saying to them, do you want to come on and we're going to focus on your business and we'll talk about your business and you can be a guest mm-hmm. and I'll help you. Like, yeah. And everybody wanted that. And they said they were ready. So yeah, I'm ready. And I would say to them, are you ready? And they'd say, yeah, Jen, I'm ready. And they called me Mama English. Is it Mama English? I'm ready. And then I'd ask them for things and find out they weren't ready because they weren't mm-hmm. prepared. Mm-hmm. Great hosts are prepared for almost anything.
Yeah.
Great hosts are prepared for dinner rushes, dinner services, everything you are promising to be in the realm of business that you're offering to your guests, whether it's technology. And again, I think this is where technology is failing their own customers. They need to, in my book, take a page out of our industry's preparation and execution of the role of a host.
Yeah.
Because in a world that's becoming increasingly technology driven, being a great host is going to require more and more. And we're really good at that. Our industry is really, really good at that. We're really good at delivering the basics, mm-hmm. all the Yelp review basics. Everything was hot. Oh. It was exactly as I ordered it. It was absolutely delicious. It was fresh. It was seasonal. It was blah, 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 blah. That's kind of the expectation. You expect mm-hmm. if I order a club sandwich, I'm not going to get a cheeseburger and say, well, we ran out of club sandwiches, right? Like if I order a club sandwich, I don't just want a club sandwich. I want a great club sandwich.
Uh-huh. Moist turkey, not right? some dry turkey.
And if you give me what I ordered, I'm like, that was really great. But if you use that as the benchmark baseline for giving mm-hmm. me an extraordinary experience, the baseline is when you come here, we're going to give you everything exactly. You want it with the crust cut off? Great. You want it with special mayo? Great. Whatever I can do to delight you while you're here, I see you, I hear you, you matter, and I've got you. We're going to do it to the best of our ability.
Cut it out of an angle. So listen, Built that rewards yep. program. So, I've been working a lot with Built for the last year or so, ever since we did that.
And I love that, by the way.
The chicken parm sandwich for Built, the free chicken parm sandwich for Built for their renters. But Jennifer, listen what they're doing in the hospitality space. You're going to love this because what it's doing is taking technology and it's also taking the restaurant to realize and understand who their customers are. So for instance, let's say Jennifer English, you book a table at Tucci, and we haven't implemented this yet. So we're in the process of, but let's say Jennifer English, you book a table at Tucci and, we know you're a regular because it's in the system. And now we can add that Jennifer English comes to Tucci and hits a certain amount of money on her bill. And what the computer system automatically does when your bill of fare goes through the system is it will order an Uber Black to bring you home, right? Free of charge.
And
we're sending you home, like Oscar Tucci did.
Right. So think about, help people understand, because you're connecting the dots by going from A to Z.
Yeah.
But in between are a lot of dots that require enumeration, description, mm-hmm. explanation, mm-hmm. and then connection. I want you to break it down so that people who didn't grow up in the glow of Oscar Tucci and Mario Tucci and Sesta Tucci, I want you to tell them why this is an important thing, because technology is going to allow, I'm going to jump ahead. Technology is going to allow you to do the things easier, more consistently, and yet with the same intention, because you can't offer this service without the intention to offer it. That's an expression of what it means to be a great host. I see you. I hear you.
You matter.
You matter. And I've got you. And not only that, I'm going to anticipate what's going to delight you and reward you. And
And well, nothing in our relationship. Nothing says it. I got you more than the BILT program. And you know what Oscar did back in, you know, the 1950s was that he had a fleet of Cadillacs. You know, we used to we still say that Oscar created the first Uber, in the essence that he would bring, you know, transport guests to and from Delmonico's to make it a seamless evening for them. You know, the people that lived uptown, they were weary of coming downtown. So Oscar made it possible for them. So the I've got you is what BILT is doing now, in the sense where as a restaurant, as a card member, or as, you know, a member of BILT, what we're doing is we are making your experience even more memorable. Imagine being at dinner, all of a sudden you get an alert that says, you know, please confirm your Uber upon, you know, the finishing every meal. And then it's like, you're like, what? And then you have this fabulous car after your fabulous dinner take you home or to wherever you want to go. And even Jennifer, I love this part. If you're having an anniversary, and this is all what BILT is doing right now. So if you're having an anniversary and you come to Tucci, and we know because it's marked in the system that it's your anniversary, what we will do at the restaurant is we will have a copy of the Delmonico Way, you know, signed from Max Tucci, delivered to your doorman. And before you get to your apartment, you know, you'll have a book waiting for you. And just
I love those moments. Those things are fabulous. So we're gonna talk about what that actually means in 1 second. But before we do that, let's talk about, I don't think they had them back then, but imagine if Oscar Tucci inside the Cadillac had a Yeti cooler to keep the food nice, so that when you got your doggy bag, you got it home in one delicious piece, or there was something else that was connected to the experience of the meal and getting you home. What do all of those things do, though? Think about this, because this is kind of one of those, I think, really aha moments for everybody. It solidifies the relationship you have with the place that's hosting you. Mm-hmm. There is a relationship that grows each time you go someplace, even if you go someplace for the first time. You create, sometimes it's one great blind date, or it's a memory, or it's a birthday, or it's a dinner, or it's an experience. Think about what that means. All of the things you do as a host are in relationship to the guest. And what does the guest do? Because we've talked about this a lot. In a world without hosts over the last 3 years, and you and I have talked about this many times, if there is no host, how do I know I'm a guest? Do I know that I'm a guest because I pay? Do I know that I'm a guest because I don't live there? Do I know that I'm a guest? And I could run through the list of things that happen when any of us go out to eat, with or without a host, with or without a server, with or without fancy. And what that translates to is with or without relationship. Mm. If I go someplace and I don't have those things to make me understand that I'm a guest, how can we be expecting a generation today to know that they're a guest, and what to expect of a host if they've never met a host or been hosted? Mm-hmm. How are they going to know how to be hosted if I'm a guest, how do I know how to be hosted if I've never been shown?
Yes.
Right?
Well, look, it's like penmanship. If you don't know penmanship, how can you write the invitation?
But
right?
But
how do you address the envelope?
Right, but I want to go back to this even more. I want you to think about this. We've been living in a world without hosts in the food and hospitality realm. In the 100% of food experiences, about 80% of our public food experiencers are at places where we might not get hosted. And I'm going to pick on Starbucks, and I'm sorry, Mr. Schultz and everybody, but I got to do this because it's
Kenny
ubiquitous, right? It's ubiquitous. Wait,
hold on real quick. Speaking of Starbucks, do you know that Kenny G was one of the early investors, and that's what made him the most amount of money, was being an investor in the early days of Starbucks? That's a tidbit for y'all.
But you'll have a very wide and varied experience with the person who takes your order. And sometimes you feel like they're genuinely there to welcome you. And sometimes you're a thorn in their paw.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask, why are there kiosks? Because it's very hard to get consistent experience for guests, mm-hmm, with humans at a place like Starbucks or any place. Again, it's a human experience. United. Think about what it means, however, to make the intention to say, I'm going to start reminding young people that when they're in a public experience of food, that you have a choice to create relationship or not. Mm-hmm. It's not that I want his cheeseburger. And by the way, we're not even getting into Eating is the New Cooking and cravings and people doing all their social media posting about, you know, the five big things that are like, you would think we only have five kinds of food in America right now. You know, pizza, tacos, burgers, chicken, fried chicken, spicy fried chicken, and then the tie in fifth place between plants and all vegan, vegetarian stuff, and dumplings and street food. Like those are the things you would think that's all we have right now. And mm-hmm, if you think about what it means to be in relationship to the place your food comes from, and I think this is really important, if you talk about hosting and you have guests that you wish to feel hosted, you bring an intention that goes beyond food, mm-hmm, that's more than the food that you're serving. There's more, mm-hmm, than the offers you're making in the bar, in the delivery system, etc. If you're a host, what are you really trying to do?
Yeah.
You're really trying to establish your anchoring role in relationship to the guest so that there is a relationship created with the guest that allows them to genuinely be your guest, because the role of a guest and the role of a host is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
This is an inequality here. The host is in service to the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know what a guest is supposed to be and expect and want, and who's going to teach them if not the experience of being hosted?
You know, we have to do a book, a flip book. One side is how to be a great host, and flip it, the other is how to be a great guest. Speaking of being a great host and a great guest,
and by the way, we're not even talking about the shows that we host.
One of the things. Well, listen, I've got to interrupt you, because being a great host and a great guest is you and me, and we've got to wrap this up because we're coming to that time. And I know this illusion of time, Jennifer, we could go on for this for hours. So, you know, the next time we do a show, we're going to have to do an after the show like Bill Maher does, where we can then continue the conversation. But I want to leave off with Jennifer, with, you know, just some words of wisdom you want to give our listeners today on today's Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci.
I think we have the most exciting, delicious moment in our culinary history ever. More people are talking about food than ever before. And if you go on social media, we now have millions and millions of people sharing and creating content about food. Food unites us more than ever. In that moment in time that we have together right now, I want you to think about hosting. Whether you're hosting on your own social media site, on your page, on your platform, you're doing some kind of social shopping on TikTok shop, on Twitch. If you're on social media, you host the people that follow you. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get to this yet, but all of us are becoming hosts to those people that are giving us their expectation of curiosity and time and listening, and it's our job to anticipate like a great host in a way that says to everybody that comes and reads your posts, I see you, I hear you, and you matter. And reinventing mm-hmm. what it means so you just don't swipe by without grabbing their attention. If you're a good host on your social media, I want you to be a good host everywhere you go. And think mm-hmm. like a host. My one piece of advice is to be a great guest and to have great experiences everywhere you go in life. First, think like a host, because if you think like a host, you will understand like a guest.
If you think like a host, you will understand like a guest. And on that, Jennifer English, you are not only a wonderful host, you're a sublime guest. And I love you for being here. And thank you for joining me at my table. And on that note, I think that's where we can drop the mic, because that's how we end the show, Jennifer.
But if anybody wants to find you, Jennifer English. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Jenny Foods. I'm Jennifer English. That's J-E-N-E Foods. And I would love to connect with anybody that's a friend of Max, is a friend of mine. And the thing we didn't talk about is how your grandfather was a friend in the business, the way you're a friend in the business for your guests. When you come to my town, I'll tell you where you need to go. That's mm-hmm. being a host. So the idea of hosting is something you're doing every day. Just elevate your game, step into it, and find the joy in being a great host in whatever you do. Because whatever you're doing in service to somebody else, your kids, your parents, whoever it is, find the joy in it, and it's going to transform your life and experience.
Absolutely.
And it will make everything, and it will make everything, literally, if it's possible, it'll make things taste better.
It sure will. It will heighten the whole experience and the frequency of the moment. I love you all for tuning in to Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. Tune in next week, because you never know who's going to be welcomed to my table. Until then, good night and good karma. I love you, Max Tucci. Ciao.
From Delmonico Farm in New York, here's Max Tucci. Welcome to his table.